time limited here, so we're going to start. I'm sure that Bezrat Hashem, more people will come as we go. Okay, so here we go. Let's just finish up with what we did not get to last time while we're waiting for new people. Okay, we finished Tfilas Kalim last time. Last time we were together. This is shir number 3 in base tefillah. Okay, the date is January 21. Okay. 2015. Got it. Beishvat. Yes. Beishvat. 5775. Got it right. Okay. 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 Now. Pas akum is the bread baked by a non-Jew. Pas akum. And basically there's two types of, first of all, the reason why we have a problem with pas akum, it's based on the fact that, of intermarriage. If you go back in history, you could see that what? You can't hear? Only I can hear.
It's too close to your... Pull it down on your tie a little bit.
Pull it down?
Pull it down a little bit, because it's talking in your throat.
Okay.
Pull it down a little bit.
Is that better?
That's better.
Now you can hear? Testing 1, 2, 3?
That's better.
Everybody can hear? Okay, very good. Maybe I'll...
There's a way we can... Tell them all to be quiet down there. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I know. Okay, 1 second. Let's turn off my phone. Everybody, turn on your phones after this year. Okay. Okay. Here we go. And if we can get somebody to film, who wants to film? Okay. Anybody want to just prompt it up? Okay, forget it. We won't go on screen. I don't need the embarrassment. Okay. Pas Akum. Pas Akum was instituted against intermarriage. Because in the old days, just to think about what happened there, Jews were forbidden to own mills. To have an oven was something. To even have land that you could grow wheat on. Everything was dependent on the non-Jews. So the minute that you had any type of hakoras atol to the non-Jews, there could be a problem of intermarriage. You're such a great guy. So there'd be a problem of intermarriage. That would bring that kind of a korasatov. Now, but there's two types of bread.
And the reason it's a problem of intermarriage,
Well, just look what's happening today through intermarriage. Finished. Yiddishkeit is look how tough things are. Okay, so that's the intermarriage. The gzeira of Pas Akum was not accepted by everyone because it's just too hard. How are you gonna live without bread? You know, if only the Jews, only certain types of way that you're gonna have bread, you bake it a certain way, you'll never get bread. Very, very difficult in some places. So not every place accepted it. And therefore, there's a lot of kulas. The difference between two types of bread. One type of bread is called pas palter. Pas palter. So, some guy, he was going through a Turkey. And before he went through Turkey, he asked me, what kind of bread can I eat? So the answer is you can eat the pas palter bread. What is pas palter? That's the pitas, bread that's being baked as a simple bread that's being baked to be sold. The main thing is it's being baked to be sold. Now if it's baked to be sold, so that's basically when you're traveling through these foreign countries, even here in Israel, you could buy those breads, pas palter, those breads, for example, which are, we had a case in front of the Tel Aviv train station. You go in there. There's Arabs on the way down. They're selling the bread by the Jaffa Gate. There's always Arabs selling these breads with the pitas and the sesame. They look so good and great. That's Paspalter. And that is not really Asr. Some people take it on themselves. There is a big Khumra. People do take it on themselves. And most of my friends, we're not going to eat Paspalter. But does it mean it's Asr? No. Paspalter is really Mutter.
Do you have to find out
if you grease? No, you don't have. That bread, in this case, they're not going to be greasing theirs. In Germany, there's places which have mamish chazaka of greasing their pans. I had a relative of mine. He one time bought some Paspalter. Now Paspalter could be even a challah, could be even baked very nicely. So he bought Paspalter, and he wasn't religious. He gave it to my aunt, and my aunt, who's religious, she's raving about this challah. So he goes back the next day and he says, you know, this woman has been eating, she's very old, she's been eating challah all her life. How is it that, what did you do to this challah that she liked? I mean, was it more fluffy? Did it have eggs? What was in it? So the lady in the little bakery there, she went through the whole thing, and he can't figure out what's wrong. Everything is kosher. Everything, just flour, water, everything. And then at the end, just before he walks out, and she says, and then we put it in this tin and we grease it with the lard. Okay? So that's what you got to watch out for. So if it's baked with a shape, I would say that you already start to worry. There was challah baked in a tin, but the pitas and these round things that we see, they're, you know, or a lapa, they're not. There's no problem with those. Lamaisa, there's no problem. Yeah.
If you see like a little oil layer or something like that, any evidence of oil would be okay.
In which case? In the
like the Jaffa Gate thing. They look
okay,
like they're trying to get the sesame to stick with something on it.
That's not. They're not going to be putting on schmaltz. You know, crepe schmaltz. I don't know. That's an egg. Why do you think it's oil? It's an egg.
Yeah.
What?
No, it is.
No, it's probably if anything they put an egg. The oil could be also oil from the seeds, because the seeds give off a little oil when they're heated. Now spices, they're hagav, you know, spices, same thing. We'll go into that later on. How far do you have to go with what's considered treif? When it says 100% orange juice, 100% butter, 100% this, 100%, how far do you have to go to worry about the ingredients? That's another class. Yeah. Today's manufactured bread could be a problem, but in the Arab, you know, the Arab breads, the breads in Turkey, the Arab breads in Morocco, all these breads that they're just throwing against the oven, they're just mass producing them. That's just flour and water. There's no, they're not putting any treifas in them at all. But in the breads that are manufactured, they put all kinds of preservatives in, all kinds of other chemicals, and we don't know what the heck is in there. That we'll have to look into in another class. And for sure, if it's bread that's from a mold, then forget about it. If it's bread there's no way of knowing what they did to make that bread easily pop out of the mold. Okay? Now that's the bugs got ground into the flour. So what? The bugs melted. They don't have to sift their flour. What?
We
sift flour because we have a din of Ein Mevatlin Isser Lechachila. So whatever we can fix, we should fix. Don't get out of trying to fix it. But that's another class. That's about our jellies and our jams and our ketchup, which I don't want to you know. Stay tuned. We'll maybe that'll be the next class. But the bugs, if there was bugs in it, it's going to be the bottle. The lifgam, they got ground up. Our flour that we buy, they have bugs ground into it. There's not three old ladies sitting up on top of the you know grinder checking the wheat before it gets ground into flour. Our flour also has ground bugs in it. So, you know, we're doing, yeah.
But our sensing, isn't that actually looking for new bugs?
That's looking for new bugs. But if there would be a new bug by the non-Jews, so then it would melt, it would get ground, it would just get smashed up. And if you see it, so take it out. You don't have to worry about a bug, you just take it. But mice, you see, there's no bugs in their pitas. Yeah. Okay? So that's called paspalter. Paspalter is the bread that's made by a non-Jew in order to sell. They're selling it. And even if it's a beautiful shaped challah, cinnamon raisin, whatever else you want to put in it, a beautiful challah, if it's made to sell, that's also called paspalter. If the simple bread, a pita, if the guy is making it for himself, that's called paspalabaya. He's making it for himself and he says, listen, I have some bread, my wife just made this. And it's a simple lapa. You can't do that because then you have a korsatov to the guy because he's giving you from him. It's a balabias's challah. It's balabias's bread. So that's the difference between paspalter and paspalabayat. Is one is for home use, that's paspalabayat, no matter what condition it's in, no matter how simple the bread is. And paspalter is the bread that you sell, no matter how beautiful it is. Okay, now. In order to get out of, the first thing is, how far do you have to go to get paspalter? I mean, how far do you have to get Jewish bread? How far? So Sephardim are very strict, and they go 18 minutes backwards. Like you have to backtrack 18 minutes and 72 minutes forwards. Right? So that's the difference between, how much is it? Four meal.
One meal back,
four meal forward. That's how far you have to go out of your way for Sephardim to get bread made by a Jew. Their Sephardim are very modern. The Ashkenazim, they don't care about paspalter. Ashkenazim, we eat paspalter if we want to. We can eat paspalter all we want. In fact, the Mishnah Brewer says that if you want to be strict, so during the Esther Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days of repentance, try and stay away from paspalter. But you see, even he said, even the inference is that even he, the rest of the year, people were eating paspalter and there was nothing against it. No one stopped it. So, different types of reasons why we would eat paspalter. It's tastier. It's a different type. I want that type. It's cheaper. All these reasons we can eat paspalter. Happens to be in Eretz Israel, we're very lucky because we have so much Jewish made bread that we don't really start buying paspalter. But if you see someone buying paspalter, don't say, oh, the guy's not religious, he's a problem. No, paspalter, you can buy it. What is pas? We have to know when we're talking about paspalter. What makes bread? Okay? So what makes bread are the five grains, which is wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. That's what makes bread. Okay. How does one create Pas Yisrael? You have now these breads, and now there's non-Jews around. Yes?
Does that mean that
no problem. You can buy that. That is bread. It's not a problem.
Because if you can eat paspalter, you should be.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And that's not even called paspalter. That's just they're probably trying to save money, to save you money, so that you don't spend a lot of money on the bread. So you can buy the unusual bread. And not worry about it. The worst case it is possible. All basically what they're probably saying is that they researched it, and as I said earlier, we want to be careful that there's no, in these newfangled breads that we have, that there's no not kosher ingredients in them. That's basically what they're going to be saying. So that's good. 100% good.
Is there any issue?
It's easy to do. There won't even a strain chapter is going to be. It's very easy to take the trum and the meiser. It's tala and tala on bread. These are things that are simple to do. If you were telling, they're very simple. It's the ABCs. For them to do. That's not going to be what trips anything up. It would be more complicated stuff. It has milk in it. You know, where it has different types of ingredients that would, which we'll talk about milk and spread later. But it could have other things which maybe a standard hapsher won't give. But in general, they're just trying to save a buck. That's what's going on.
You have to check the ingredients in the cellar, or there's no point in doing it.
Well, again,
the zucker of the bread, it may have butter in it. How do we know it doesn't?
Because they would mark it. They would say it's got it. They're going to tell you. They're not going to let milk bread out into the world if it's not. If it's par, and they're not going to let it, they're not going to tell you it's par, or not put a milkic symbol on it. Milkic's bread is usher. You can't buy unless it has an unusual shape, which we will get to. Okay, that's another. What's that?
Paspalter doesn't have a hash.
Paspalter is par.
Well, how do you know that? That's the question.
Because it's some of the Arabs are making paspalter. Bread is part. That's a good. Bread is part. You didn't see Chazal worried about the non-Jews putting in milk into the bread. When they mockered paspalter, first they ushered paspalter, then they mockered paspalter. When they mockered paspalter, they didn't say, oh, maybe there's milk in the bread, and we can't mocker it. Okay, the reason why is because milk in the bread will be usher because maybe you're going to come to eat it with meat. Again, that's another share. But, so as far as the strange hectures go, I wouldn't worry about it. But look and see if it says if it's milkix. Then you can call up, you can ask if you should still buy it. If it has an unusual shape, you'll be okay. Okay, so, There's a few things that we can do that when we make the bread that it's not paspalter anymore. One is placing the bread in the oven. The other one is turning on the oven. You do any of these things. Or raising the temperature. Okay? And this all applies to Ashkenazic and Sephardic. Any of these things. Because basically what we're saying is that Alechem Yichya, the Zera was not accepted by everybody, and they're very makel by pas in general, to be called Pas Yisrael if you do one of these things. Only one. There's a big machlokus in the world about the light bulb. Okay, can you just turn on a light bulb in the oven? Okay. It comes from the idea that if I just add a little bit of fire to the, I'll explain in 1 minute. The idea is that if I add a little bit of fire to the fire, if I increase the heat in some way, so then I'm now, a Jew is now participating in the baking of the bread. So since a Jew is participating in breaking of the bread, so therefore, just lighting a light bulb in the oven should be okay, yeah.
How does that increase the fire if the light bulb is lit first?
If the light bulb is lit first?
How does that increase?
If you light the light first, so then you contributed to the fire. You contributed to the fire. So this machlokus is actually a machlokus, the OU and the star K. Yeah. If you have now help in the house, and you have a non-Jew in the house, and you want them to participate in the, you want that bread to, you want them to bake, you want them Just like you have to turn on the light of the fire. So these are ways, if you have a non-Jew in the house, you want the bread to come out to be that it's Pas Yisrael as opposed to Pas Palter.
Okay? To do with Pas Palter.
Yeah, no, this is how to make Pas Palter. So they have now, they have like, let's say, a bakery that's owned by non-Jews. And the Mashgiach comes in and he checks out all the ingredients and he says, fine, wonderful, okay, this is good. And he goes. And on his way out, he turns on the light bulb in the oven. They install the little light bulb in the oven. Does that work as adding fire to your, I guess, the temperature, raising the temperature to some degree, even a minuscule amount? Does that work in terms of now it's you're participating? Just turning on a light bulb. It's Mach Lokas. You're right. The OU says no. Okay? The OU says no because you're not really doing anything that's not enough. Turning on a light bulb is not enough to even make a little crust on the bread. And the Star K says yes.
So with all of this, is this as well as a part of or is it cover both?
That covers both. All of this covers everything. Both. By pass. Pass is different than Bishlachim. Because they learn the sugya differently. They learn that as long as you add, what's a little squig into a fire? As long as you add make a little heat, it's okay. Now would you participate? Yes. Oh, this is just, you're actually, when you add a little bit of fire to Bishol, that's much different. We're going to be maple. That everybody says is maple. Just stirring the coals could be called increasing the fire.
This
argument is specifically to bread.
Okay.
To bread, right. And when it comes to other things, we're going to see right now. Okay, and then there's a whole thing about how long if the oven cools off, if it goes off, if the oven accidentally goes off, you don't have to have a Jew to turn it back on as long as it did not cool. It keeps its original heat. That's also in the getter of Pas Yisrael. Yes? Bad bread? That's exactly the next thing I'm going to talk about. This applies to bread or other baked goods, but not pastries that are cooked or fried. I think cooked cakes are also Pas Yisrael. But not cooked, meaning like you make dumplings or something. You cook them bread. You make a boiled bread, or a fried like a pancake. That's bishulach. That goes into bishulach. Okay, now that we're talking about bishulach, let's go to bishulach. Okay, so bishulach is very interesting. And the original gezeira of Bishul Akum was to prevent intermarriage. And that was accepted by everybody. That's not like Pas. Pas, as we said, was hard to get. The non-Jews made it very hard on the Jews to eat and live. But Bishul Akum, you cook your own food. What do you have to go and get food from? Have a non-Jew cook the food. So that's for intermarriage, and again, it's the same type of idea that you don't want to have this hakoras atov. You don't want to be indebted and thankful and grateful because that leads to kiruv dat. Kiruv dat is bringing close the minds and the lifestyle and everything together. You don't want to have that. And some people say that the reason of bishul akum is because we're koshish. That there's non-kosher ingredients in them. You didn't see how they made it, or it's involved, the non-Jew made this stuff, and I don't know what they put in there. But yeah. So, but the main reason is intermarriage, as we'll see. That's the main reason, and at the end of our discussion of Bishul Akum, we're going to learn a very important thing. So this applies. What does Bishul Akum apply to? It applies to food that is inedible raw. So Bishul Akum does not apply to carrots or heat up what the broccoli? No, broccoli. Yeah, I could eat it raw. So yeah, different things that you can eat raw. But a potato actually would be bishalakol, the shiloh. Today potatoes are so common that I don't think bishalakol applies anymore. You'll have machmirim that bishalakol applies, but the whole idea of potatoes, you don't see,
you're not kidding, sliced potatoes, right.
Okay, so the other thing is that Bishul Akum is only Olah al Shulchan Malachim. It has to be food that's ready to serve to the kings. So that's, again, that's the potatoes. That's why we get out of potatoes. It's so common, and it's so, you don't see, like, at a state dinner, okay, here's hot dogs and french fries. You're going to give it to the, you know, to the Queen of England. She's coming to visit the White House. He's not going to do that. Okay? You might have mashed potatoes, you might have other things, but even then, mashed potatoes is such a common food, they're just eating it because they're hungry to fill themselves up. It's not a hushu food. Okay? So it has to be ola al shulchan lachim. That's number two. So it applies to inedible food, and it applies to a food that's a roy for a king, a fine person. It has to be cooked. Bishul Akum only applies to cooked food, not pickled food. So if a non-Jew makes pickles, no problem. You can eat them. Pickled food is fine. Pickled, preserved, any of these other things. So some examples that are mutter, here's the first one that's interesting. Coffee. Making coffee, even though it's bishul, making coffee, the coffee is mutter because you don't have the food in there. All you got is the taste. It's like schnapps. There's no din of bishul akum on schnapps. Baruch Hashem. because you don't have the substance itself. You have the derivative of it, which is just the taste. So there's no bishul akum on schnapps and coffee or any. Other examples that are mutter that I saw is sugar. Not kashu, here's your bowl of sugar, chocolate, mushrooms. Mushrooms are edible raw. So if they cook them, no problem. Okay? Basically many, many vegetables. Tomatoes. Tomatoes are eaten raw. Cucumber. Anything of these other things that are eaten raw. Cereal. All these dried cereals or these... These diet not only dry food, but if they cook them, they make you. Here's a bowl of semolina. No bishul akum on your semolina oatmeal. That's not ole al shulchan malachim. That's a simple popcorn, corn chips, potato chips. I had a case. This mishkiach mentioned to me that he goes and he visits a badatz. He works with around you. Also is a little bit of a watchdog for the other hechsherim. So even though that this place had a Vadat's hechsher that was making potato chips, he goes and he's going to inspect it because that's the revenue, because everything has to go under the revenue also. And he sees wonderful plant, great, he sees how the potatoes come in, sees that they're meistered, everything's going good, and he's looking around and he sees there's one job there that they got an Arab doing. And what job is that? He's the one that's pressing the button that drops the potatoes into the, after they're cut, drops the potatoes into the oil to be turned into potato chips. And he's going there, click, 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 click. So he screamed, Bishul Akum. Here's the non-Jew putting the potatoes in the water, in the oil, Bishul Akum, making potato chips. The way they got out of it was that potato chips are not such a chashuv food. It's not ola al shulchan shel malachim. It doesn't go on the table of kings. Yes. Okay. Bishul Akum literally means that a non-Jew over kochavim is akum. Oved Kochavim, Bishul Akum, Bishul of an Oved Kochavim. He serves the stars. Oved Kochavim. So that's a nickname for non-Jews. That's Akum. So Bishul Akum is Bishul of an Oved Kochavim. Or an Akum. Eggs. You would not think that eggs are a problem, but eggs are a problem. Boiling an egg is a problem. Non-Jews cannot boil the eggs. That apparently they're machmir, even that's in the Gemara about putting an egg up. But potatoes are just, I think, eaten for today. Even a potato before it used to be bishul akum. Today, potatoes are eaten more for out of just, you know, filling up your stomach. Make sure you have the potatoes here on Shabbos because you got to make sure everybody eats, fills up. But there's another interesting thing about what's chashuv or not. What would you think about a falafel? A falafel. Falafel balls. Falafel balls. Now you have a non-Jew making falafel balls. Is that bishul akum? Street food. I had one of our chabura call up. He's in Connecticut. And this guy, a little Indian guy, is making now some kind of little dish. Greasy kind of dish that you just kind of eat on the street and go. So what is that? It's not some kind of small grain, I don't know what it was. But he described it, and I said, it doesn't sound like bishul akum to me, because not ola al shulchan, shom alakum. It's a street food, you're just passing it on the street.
The grease.
No, the grease is nothing. The grease? No, it was oil. It was oily. Maybe it was steam. And I don't remember the question now exactly, I gotta call him up. The point was is that there's a lot of food out there that's not bishul akum. Cooking, I think cooking chashuv nuts, like the chestnuts, that could be bishul akum. Chestnuts roasted over an open fire. What? No, chestnuts are, I don't think, only in Shas HaDchak are eaten raw. They're not, okay, so how do you get out of bishul akum? One is light the fire. Okay, that's obvious. You can even put a candle, this 24-hour candle, and make sure you light the fire from the candle. Stir the pot. Go over there, stir, keep stirring, make sure that you have participated in the cooking. Stoke the coals. Okay, that raises the fire that now you participate in the cooking. Or turn up the heat. Or, if you like, like we said, the candle, you have a pilot light. Today, pilot lights are not so common. Used to be pilot lights were very common. But I think that they ruled that it's dangerous to have these pilot lights. So you don't see too many stoves with pilot lights anymore. And the obvious one is if you place the stove, you place the food on the stove. Now, Sephardim must have that food placed on the stove. That's it. If they do that, even if a non-Jew lights the fire, it's okay. Yes.
And has to be cooked to the point that it can be eaten on a roof.
Yes. In other words, it has to be on the stove.
And cooked to the degree of eating.
Means that he has to leave it on the stove until it gets cooked to that degree.
Cook it at least enough to be eaten if you're on the run from the couch.
What does that mean? That he has to stir it for that amount of time?
Actually, he has to actually have part in the cooking of the food, of course, part.
Not enough to just put it on the stove?
Is that more than...
Okay, I don't know. I always thought it's enough if they put it on the stove.
Because in the Gemara it talks about, I forget the other guy's name, he would eat the food raw, up to him cook it just enough, heat it up, and then run. He had to put it on there just enough to heat it up, to cook it just enough, and he eat it and run.
But he had to, according to you, he had to stir it.
Part in the cooking, yes.
Is he talking about okay.
Ben Drosai?
That's the third paragraph. That's what I'm asking.
I understood. I have a little safer here. I can look it up. I understood that it's enough just to put it on the stove, as long as the non-Jew did not take it off the stove. Because by you putting it on the stove, you basically got the thing. That's enough of a haker. If I put it on the...
How much you have to do in order for it to be visual?
If you did not put it on the stove, then you better come and stir it. But the Sephardim wants you to put it on the stove.
Right. Or Sephardim has to be the initiation of the cooking also.
Okay. So that's another gazing. Okay. So the basic bottom line is Jews have to participate even in a minimal amount. Then it's already taken off. Then it's already mutter. If a non-Jew cooks, we'll start wrapping it up. If a non-Jew cooks, the kalim are usher. Non-Jew cooks food in a pot, the kalim are usher. Now, the kalim are not going to usher other pots or other food. That's just that pot is usher.
And whatever utensil is used in there.
And whatever they use, because that's part of the cooking.
Usher forever or until?
It's usher till you kosher them. Thank you, yeah. But they won't usher food. There's a big heter. And this heter is a very important heter. What?
That's very interesting.
The pot is usher.
But the food is not.
The food that you're making in it is usher. The next time you use. Thank you, Mendel, for helping me clear that up. The pot that you use. But if you use that pot again. I left out a word. If you use that pot again. That food is mutter. What? No, right away. You don't have to wait 24 hours. The gezeira is only on the pot. The gezeira is on the food. You can't eat that food that the non-Jew made, and you can't. And that pot is usher. But you can't use that pot without koshering it. Yes. If you happen to use it, the food's okay. Don't use it without kashering it, but if you happen to use it, the food's okay. Now, there's two more interesting points, and then we're going to finish with this. The first one is, you know, a lot of people have help from non-Jews, the Filipinos and the different people that come in. And they have a lot of help in the house for the elderly. And the elderly are sick. They can't really fend for themselves. They can't really do much for themselves. So they get a helper. And now that helper is cooking food in the kitchen. Those pots and that food is mutter. They're making it for the elderly, a sick person that's been deemed sick, not able to take care of himself, that he must be cooked for. That food is completely mutter, and even a Jew can eat it. Because once it's mutter, and he can make a bracha on it and everything, once it's mutter, it's mutter. And even the pots are mutter and everything. So I had a case where someone was, they called up, same thing, and they couldn't cook. They were like almost bedridden. That was an easy one. And the relatives would not eat in their house. Because they said, these kalim were, you know, you have non-Jewish help in your house, and the kalim were used by the non-Jewish help to cook. So the answer is that yes, it can be used. It's mutter. The people who were making it usher didn't understand the din, the basis of the din. Well, they're also cooking for. My daughter worked in a hospital, and she worked in the kitchen, and I went down there to eat one time when I visited. So they're cooking a lot of that stuff. They're just cooking for visitors, and they're cooking for the workers there that get special deals on food. Sometimes, you know, part of the food they're cooking also for the patients, the sick people. So you're right. If they were only cooking for the sick people, or that was the majority of their, but really they're throwing it on. They know they're cooking for other people. They know they're cooking for the guests, and they know they're cooking for the workers. So you would have a problem with Bishlam. But it's a wonderful question. That's a really special question. The it really comes out what happens if the non-Jew is marbid or makes too much on purpose. So that would be a question. A maisa, I think, would be okay because they're really cooking for the non-Jew. I mean, the non-Jew is really cooking for the Jew. The chola. So if they're really cooking for the chola, so then it should be okay. But they can't. If you can't get your Filipino, for example, to cook a Shabbos meal, you're gonna have, now the chola wants guests. Tells the non-Jew, I'm having guests now, make a whole meal. No, that's already too far. But to cook for the chola, and now you want to come in there, you're visiting your sick parent, your sick relative, whoever it is, and you want to make something in their pots, or you want to make the Shabbos meal in there, that's okay, because those pots are really what Mikra did. But here's the last case, which is really, really important. And we understand all the heterim of Bishul Akum, we understand why there's a problem of intermarriage, and the different things, the different ways out. Chashu food, not chashu food. But what happens now, and this happens a lot, that person's about tshuva, and they go home to their parents' house, and their parents say, I bought all kosher food. And I even bought brand new kalim, because I want you to know the kalim are kosher. Maybe they didn't toivle it, they didn't think of toivling it, so we already worked that out. And now, can you eat there? And this comes up hundreds and hundreds of times. This is your relatives, your uncle, your parents, children, who knows, friends, close friends, cousins. Can you eat there? Do you say that a Jewish person who is not Shomer Shabbos? The Farhesia. They're not religious. That's how I started out. They're not religious. They're Mechal Shabbos for Farhesia. They go to the Mets baseball game on Shabbos. But they say, this Shabbos we're gonna pass it, and we're gonna host you Friday night at Shabbos, and I went and got all that. Can you eat there? Do they have a din of Bishul Akum? You can eat there.
Of course not.
Yes.
Because they're Jews.
I cannot tell you how many people will not eat at that house. And I feel so sorry for those people who end up making such shalom bias problems because they don't trust their own parents. They don't trust their own relatives to tell the truth.
Why doesn't that hold for wine?
That also holds for wine. Sure it does. You can, if wine, by a person who is Shomer, not by a person who is Jewish and is not Shomer Shabbos, that's also good. You can find Machmirim, but I'm telling you, Mi'ikra Din, it's fine. You'll find plenty of Machmirim. Because the whole Gezerah on the wine is because of intermarriage. And it's a piss thing. Chuba brings it down. What?
And also
Avodah Zarah. But that's not shayach here. You hear? They're not. It's not shayach to wine.
It's
not stam yayin. It's nothing you can really do. I know people go crazy and ballistic over it, but really, Mikra did, and it's not worth it to make trouble. It's just push it. Not worth it. It's not shayach. It's not worth it. You're embarrassing the person. You're over a derisa of embarrassing the person. You make them feel bad. You drive them away from religion. What did you gain by hanging on to that? There's a big hetter. It's me'ikra din. It's fine. What did you? Who? Why? Why would you do that? The same thing. Why would you be machmir going to your parents' house when you can find a hetter? Why? What do you gain? Yes. A non-religious person sitting. It's 100% mutter. A non-religious? Non-religious Jew, correct. 100%. There's no
Jew. You know what the ingredients are.
a non-religious person sitting in a Jewish person who doesn't, who's not Shomer Shabbos, they're not religious. Okay? What are you worried about? Intermarriage? No, it doesn't matter. Even if it's not Mavushal. Now that's the din. You want to be Machmir, you want to find Machmir, fine. Go ahead. But I'm telling you, this is the din. And I don't see what you would gain by being Machmir. You're just going to offend these people. You're going to offend them.
Even if they sit from the same
line, all that, you pass the Kiddush cup for all the different things. That, what? No. What? It's mutter. It's mutter. You don't have to let
I'm saying a Jew is a Jew.
Jew is a Jew. That's correct. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
For instance, like, I make
eggnog.
That's raw egg.
So you said... Raw eggs is no
visual apple. No, but you're saying that the issue is that you can't include
raw.
But I do.
They answer that. That's a great question. So they say, even though that there's some people that eat it raw, the eggs, we're going by the majority of people. That's called kavod. That question is out. That they're dealing with this morning.
And the second question I have is, I know people in America, that
yes,
they go to trade hotels, you know, not Jewish hotels.
Yes.
They put out a breakfast with a cereal and milk potato.
Right.
And they put out hard-boiled eggs, and they ask the hotel says, we only use one pot for eggs and hard-boiled.
No problem. I have not found the heter on hard-boiled eggs. Do you see the heter, Gabi, on our... No, I, it's a problem. I understand. And it makes sense to me, sense-wise, to eat an egg that was hard-boiled. But I get that question every once in a while, people traveling, can I eat the eggs? I never found the heter. So I can't mock her. It's a good question. I suppose people are relying that it's not Olal HaShulchan Malachim. It's not a Hashem food. It goes on a king's table. Yeah.
In the example that you're speaking of, where you're going to a person's house who's not religious.
Yes.
So I don't remember, first of all, if this is really what I heard, but what I thought I had learned at one point, and I don't remember where, was that, like, if it was somebody like your parents,
yes,
or maybe even like your brother, your sister, or something,
yes,
fine, certainly like the parents, because there you have an issue of kibbud av v'eim.
Yes.
But I thought if it was like no, kind of out of your family,
no, not the heter is fine. Right. Okay, I'm sorry to cut you off, but the heter is not based on kibbud av v'eim. The heter is based on shalom. There's a thing called shalom in the world, kavod adam. Okay, and the real thing is that you believe them, because there's no reason for you not to believe them. The iser is chasanos. Vishal akum, the iser is intermarriage. There is no problem with intermarriage if the person's not religious. Some people want to, you know what, maybe that's why they don't want the one. I don't want my family intermarrying with your family. You're not religious. I don't want my children, my son, going after your daughter. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that is another tougher question. What happens if they don't have new pots? They made something on their old pot. We'll get into that. That's called Stam Kli Eino Ben Yoma. And really, technically, don't eat a lot. But if they did cook for you, and they're putting on, and they're saying all this is kosher, you could eat it. Okay? That's you should only do that under extreme circumstances that you're going to, greatly embarrass them or some kind of problem. Lamaisa, you can eat there. And I know of a case where Rosh Hashiva Paskin, that he, when his son went, when a child went home, and they had that exact situation where the pots were not kosher, but the food was kosher, that he said you could eat there. I know that that's a situation. Someone told me that. And it was a reliable source. Yes.
To clarify, with a non-Jew in a Jewish sick person's home.
Yes.
So if the
Correct. If he's cooking for himself, then the pots are a problem. Only if he's cooking for the... So he has to have his own pots. Okay? If that's the way you get out of it. No, he can eat from that food. He's cooking for him, then he can eat some of it. Which is natural. You're making for the Jew. There's half to be left over. I'll eat some too. But for himself, and also you have to, if you leave, there's a whole other dinning which we didn't get involved in, but we're going to have to move forward. If you leave the non-Jew by himself in the home, you have to make sure that your pots are secured, your pots and pans that they're going to cook, because there's a chashash that he's going to use those pots and pans. So if you're going away for a day or two or a week and you have a live-in servant, you better lock them up. That's what they say to do. Lock it up. Okay, but let's move forward. Yes, go ahead.
I know we don't have an issue around here, but if it's a born Jew,
yes,
practicing other religions as their lifestyle, do these same laws apply?
If it's a true Mumar, then I would be a little bit more mafia. I'd have to think about what to do with it, depending on the case. But our families and things like that are not true Mumars. They're just innocent people. Yes. Tinuk Shanishpa. Even if you tell me there's no such thing as a Tinuk Shanishpa today, but they're certainly not Mumars. Yeah.
All right, second question. When it comes to food cooked for a king, can the food change its status or have its status changed if the king, emperor, president, whatever, wishes to eat a different food?
That's the question they ask about a bow going into McDonald's eating a hamburger. It's basically, would that be on a state menu, on the menu of the state dinner?
Today, our entire, everybody
is having this. No, it goes by normal people. It's in.
Now it's cooked for a king, now it's normal people.
No. We're not talking about a king that abdicated. Or went crazy.
Okay. Or is crazy.
Or is crazy. Okay, next. Peychet. Peychet, talking about, this is Simon Peychet and Peytet in Yeridea. That's what we're supposed to be covering tonight. God willing, we have a little time. What time is it, Ari?
23 minutes after.
Okay, we'll just touch on the subject. We'll continue it tomorrow, next week, and we'll also make a new subject. We're talking about bringing things up on the table, milk and meat at the same time on the table. And really, you should not bring milk and meat up to the table at the same time. And the reason is, in Machlokas, Rashi and the Ran, Rashi says because it spills, and the Ran says because maybe you're going to come and eat them at the same time. You're going to take a drink of milk while you're eating a sandwich. Okay? We paskin like the Ran, because that's Rashi would be if you had a cup of milk where the two things can't spill on each other, you'd have to have an earthquake to knock over the milk, just a cup, so that would be more true. So we paskin like the Ran. That's an example.
Let me get the facts. You have a fleishig meal and somebody brings milk, or you have two people sitting there, one eating milk and
Even yourself. Even just by yourself, you have a fleishig meal. You're not allowed to have milk and meat at the same table while you're eating your meal, okay? And also when other people are there, okay? If you have, even if you have yourself there, and you put a little sign or something like that, it's not good enough because you might forget. Yeah, the best thing, you have to push the food that's milky or meaty out of the way. And this is called, the reason is because the term in Hebrew is lo bedilei inche mine. People do not separate themselves from that. Lo bedilei inche mine. Okay, and what it is that milk and meat are so common, they're always mutter. We always are eating that milk and meat. It's part of our natural way of doing things, that we try and make a haker. We want a haker. We want a reason. We want a way to separate that. Yes.
Now, is this for like a meal, or like
even a snack?
So, if one of you wants a grilled cheese sandwich and then one wants a meat sandwich,
Great, perfect, right. Or you're eating a bowl of soup, you're having a cup of coffee with milk in it, and your husband is eating the leftover chorn. Okay. So, even that. Yeah, even that, that's no good unless you're far enough away or there's a haker. A haker means a sign. Some kind of sign.
One's on the tablecloth, one's not.
You can have, we'll talk next week about the different types of hakers.
We should just mention a moment ago that if you have the sign, you're by yourself. You got the milk here, you got the meat here.
You'll
that
forget.
Sign will work.
Right.
Why will the haker work?
Because when you have two people, they, you and the other person, so you might not, you might forget about the sign, but that other person's watching you, and vice versa. Maybe you'll forget it, maybe the person won't be fully attention, but you'll, attentive, but you'll remember the sign. So yeah, it's like a double lock on something. What?
So
yes.
If you have, like, in your house, if you have, placemats of one style for your milk.
Correct. Placemats of one style, yes. Even if you're within distance, arm's reach. Placemats, one style for milk, one style for meat, no problem. Okay? You're allowed to put on your on your table while you're eating things that are trafe. You can have a McDonald's hamburger on your table while you're eating your hamburger.
Why would you have that? Just trying to figure out who is that other person.
Okay, right. It's for the other person. Okay, or an apple that's not Musar. Okay, you can put an apple that did not take tithes from. You can put that on your table and not a problem. Because once I tell you it's Usher. Or meat that's trafe, like we just said. The only thing that you can't have on your table that's trafe is bread.
Bread.
Like a challah that you forgot to take the challah off of. Or a challah that's trafe. We're going to get into different types of trafes on challahs. But that you can't, because that is another case that's ala lechem yichya, ala lechem yichya. People eat bread all the time. They don't even think of it. Today I had bread. Yesterday I had bread.
So they'll reach for it.
They'll start eating bread. This applies only to people, like when you go out to eat, your friends, you're going out to eat, you want orders. You notice that when you go out to eat, you say, okay, you know what, if you want some of my food, they gave me so much. Hey, don't hesitate. People tend to share when they're together. Those are by friends. But if you're going to a food court and there's only one seat and you ordered pizza and the guy in front of you is eating a shawarma, you can sit there. That's okay. Non-Jews, this applies even to non-Jews. Then in other words, if a non-Jew has kosher food, that milk or meat, kosher milk or meat, we're wondering that if it's trafe, then it's a problem. Then you can, if he cooked in his own pots and everything, then it's trafe. So you can eat with him without a haker. Okay, place cards and things like that. Any questions about that? We're not allowed to bring food, milk and meat on the same table that we're eating from. But we can put milk and meat on the same table, as we discussed earlier, on the table that I'm preparing the food. And we're not worried about spills. Even if a hot spill spills, we're not worried that it's traping up your table. And now I got a kasha of that preparation table, my countertops or anything like that. The tables that you prepare your food on, we're not worried about, because it's hard for them to go ahead and retrafe something else, like a second degree trafe. It's very hard for that to happen. We're not worried about it. We'll talk about how that applies to sinks and dishwashers and things like that in other classes. Any other questions?
I just wanted to ask, you going to get into sooner at some point about these kinds of issues, but as it applies to the cooking, if you need to kind of cook
Yes, we will. That's coming up in this was just table manners.
Okay.
And then we have, I don't know what we'll call it. It's not such a thing as cooking manners, but we'll call it that. Okay, and that's it. Next week, okay, we'll talk about waiting 6 hours in the different Hetterim and how that goes. And then we'll stay tuned. Look in the flyer for the next title for the next class.
Oh yeah.
Okay, great.